Well, as we said, we're beginning a new study for the next few weeks in the book of Daniel. This will just be the first six chapters. That will take us up to Easter. They're great chapters. These are some tremendous stories about Daniel and his friends. When you get to chapter 7 through to the end, they are prophetic chapters and not easy to interpret. That's not the reason we're only going to chapter 6, but at some point we will have a go at those other chapters because they are really important in terms of the end times. It's always good to have some background to what is taking place because ours is a historical faith. These are not made-up stories. We can root them in history. And so this is happening 605 BC, 605 years before Jesus. And these men are taken to the Babylonian culture and they want to assimilate them so that they lose their Israelite identity and become good Babylonians. And this is what we call the exile. The temple has not yet been destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, but people went off to Babylon in smaller groups as the years unfolded. And it's not until 586, about 19 years later is that, when the temple was actually destroyed. So that caused me to ask the question, do we invest in promising young people? Because that's what was happening here in the Babylonian culture. And do we invest in promising young people? Well, actually, I think we should invest in everyone, whatever age that they are. And as a church, we do try to invest in people. Just at the moment, we have two theological students who are training with us, Pam Searle and Joel Schofield. And Joel's here, Pam is also here, but training at a non-Baptist college. And we're endeavouring to make use of them, and they're serving the Lord wholeheartedly. Over time, over the years, I've given myself to various groups, sometimes 20s and 30s, sometimes groups of men. At the moment, we've been running an Acts course for the last 3 years when we're investing in people, asking them to be trained more effectively in their Christian service. Over the next couple of years, I'll be trying to see as many men in the church as I can, working in small groups with them to share and to challenge about the Christian life. If people don't invest in us, then they don't get the best out of us. Maybe we don't want to be invested in, but that's our choice. But this is something of the background to enrich these young men at this time with what the Babylonians thought was the best of their culture and literature. So Daniel and his three friends are trainees for service in the Babylonian court. And Nebuchadnezzar sought to assimilate these exiles into their culture so that they could obliterate the religious and their cultural identity. And one way they tried to do this was by giving them new names. You might be interested in what these names meant. First of all, their Hebrew names and then their Babylonian names. So Daniel, for example, means God is my judge. But Belteshazzar means, O lady, wife of the god Bel, protect the king. Bel was a Babylonian god. Hananiah means Yahweh is gracious. But Shadrach means I am very fearful of God. Mishael means who is what God is? Who is what God is? Well, nobody's like God is. But Meshach means, I am of little account, or who is like Aku. Aku, another god that the Babylonians worshipped. And Azariah means, Yahweh is a helper. Whereas Abednego means, servant of the shining one, Nebo, another Babylonian god. So by robbing them of their names, it was another way to try to bring them into a culture so that they could be truly Babylonian. But Daniel and his three friends resist the temptation of being assimilated, because they're recognizing that what's happening to them is idolatrous in the eyes of the God of Israel. So where are we going with this talk today? I suppose what we're thinking about is, how do we live in a culture, at the moment British culture for most of us here, and not adopt a lifestyle that is displeasing to God? In the old language, how can we be in the world but not of the world? And there are a few things in this passage which help us to know how we can do that. I came across a story of a German king who was called Henry II, and he'd grown up in the court, but he'd grown tired of all the pressures of his position as being the king. And so he decided that he would enter a monastery. And the prior said to the king, "If you come into the monastery, are you willing to be obedient to all that this monastery stands for, and the fact that him as the prior would be in charge of the king?" And the king said, "I understand. For the rest of my life, I will be obedient to you as Christ leads you." And the prior responded by saying, "Go back to your throne and serve faithfully in the place that God has placed you." That was a higher calling, of course, to come out of the monastic life and serve God fully as king. Now, Jesus is always the perfect example for us as someone who was in the world but not of it. He was remarkable in the way that he was able to stay so pure and yet connected to people, sometimes the worst of people. He's always our model. But a few things here that we can learn from Daniel and his friends. I have four things down. First of all, it says they retained their original names. I don't know whether you noticed in the reading that they're given their Hebrew names, then they're given some Babylonian names, but at the end of the chapter, they're referred to again by their Hebrew names. There was something about holding on to who they were and the name that they had been given. I remember being deeply moved years ago now, I'm probably going back 20 years, and I watched a film, which was a true story, of a young boy who had been stolen from the family by a paedophile. And then this paedophile took him from town to town in America, kept moving, put him into different schools, but all the time the boy was being abused, both by men and women. He said to the school teachers on a couple of occasions that things were happening to him. School teachers didn't believe them. Then they were off to another school in another town. And then when he got to about 14 or 15, the man who had stolen him was just about to steal another child. And he couldn't bear the thought of this other child being taken by this man. So he went into the police station and he said to the man at the police station, "I think my name is Stephen." You see, his name had been changed so many times. But he said, "I think my name was Stephen." He was able to retain something of that. You see, our names do characterize us. That's in some of the cultures that we have here. Names are given for particular reasons, often names about God. And so they tried to retain their own Hebrew names. It was holding on to their Hebrew identity. Hard to hold on to things that are important. And the second thing is, they didn't defile themselves with the king's food. Now, how are we to understand what was happening here? Let me just explain that it's not quite as straightforward as it seems on the surface. See, was it that they were not to eat food that was not ceremonially clean. Because obviously the Babylonians ate pork. But there was nothing wrong with drinking wine within the Jewish culture. So why did they not drink wine? Or they concerned about the pork, but why not the wine? Or was it that the wine and the meat had been offered to Babylonian gods, and they did not want, therefore, to be offending their god by having food that had been offered to idols? Well, the other problem is about the vegetarian diet that they followed. At this point in Jewish history, there is no vegetarian diet. The Old Testament law did not teach that modern idea of vegetarianism. And I think the best explanation of why they rejected the food is that they did not want to take the luxurious food of the Babylonians so that they might be further trapped into the temptations and the culture of Babylon. So by keeping a different diet, they were able to hold on to their Jewish identity again. And so what they were doing, reminding them on a daily basis that they were rejecting one culture in order to hold on to another. I trust we see where we're going on this. See, life is such a pressure for us as Christians, increasingly today. And it is a daily exercise to hold on to things that we think are right and true, rather than being pulled and absorbed into things that are not healthy. Sometimes we catch ourselves and we think back perhaps 10 or 15 years, maybe things that we watch on television or conversation that comes out of our mouths, and we think, you know, 10 years ago I didn't do that. And I find that I'm doing it now, and I'm just being absorbed and pulled and thinking in ways that I never used to think. These four men are endeavouring to hold on to what they consider to be right. And then the third thing is that they trust the Lord to protect them. They trust the Lord to protect them. It says that Daniel found favour and suggested that his diet should be tested for 10 days. And in this way, the steward was convinced that he would be safe, because it was only 10 days before the king found out, and the men's health would show whether it improved. So it was trusting God and following the leading of the Holy Spirit that was helping them to maintain their relationship with God. Trusting God and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but that's what life is like for us. We are pulled up quite short sometimes and we think, oh dear, I'm in a situation now and what shall I do? Quick prayers are available to us. Lord, would you help me now? Would you help me to do what's appropriate here? Whether it's to say something or not say something, or just give me the wisdom to know how to get through this hairy situation. The Holy Spirit helps us. He loves to help us. He will guide us. Often we don't trust him, but he wants to lead us. So this third area was about trusting God and following the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit really wants to lead us. But then the fourth thing is that they are given wisdom and extraordinary gifts. We're going to see that these abilities that they were given were a real blessing, not just to themselves, but to the nation. And especially for Daniel, in some of the places that he finds himself. It says they excelled in their studies. I came across some information just recently about William Carey. William Carey was the Baptist who went out to India as a missionary. And he accomplished great things in translating the Bible into Indian languages and dialects. But he said about himself, "I am not a genius, I'm a plodder." And in 40 years of plodding, he translated all or portions of the Bible into 34 languages and dialects of India. It's a remarkable work. But he said, I'm not a genius, I'm a plodder. There are certain people that are able to carry incredible information. That may not be many of us here, but we meet them from time to time. I don't know how they sort of pack all this information into their heads. I remember talking recently with Martin Goldsmith, although that wasn't so recent now, but when he spoke on Acts last year, and he stayed with us. And I was just amazed what is in that man's head. So many different things we talked about, because we spent a long time talking. And then I discovered that he could speak several languages and understand several others. And I'm thinking, how does the man put all that stuff in his head? But there's nothing proud about Martin Goldsmith. All that material is used for the kingdom. It's all translated into kingdom. It's put to good use. And so when he finds his way to Russia and does some work in the nether regions of nowhere, he's able to pick up something of the Russian language and communicate with those people. Incredible. I remember when I was a younger man and wondering whether I should go to university. I'd been an evangelist for a little while, and I remember struggling with myself and thinking, well, why should I go to university? Jesus might be back soon, and I want to use the time well. I don't want to go for 3 years to university and waste that time when I could be doing something for the kingdom. But that's muddle-headed thinking. All that we take, as long as we don't get carried away with ourselves, is of use to God. They excelled in their studies. And so therefore we are always learning people. If we stop learning, then we stagnate and we might become quite boring people. So Daniel is given the ability to understand visions and dreams of all kinds. And this particular gift is going to be invaluable to Nebuchadnezzar and to the nation. And in those later chapters, he starts to see things which are not just for the centuries that follow, 5th, 4th, 3rd centuries up until Christ, but also our days and the final days before Jesus returns. He was given remarkable gifts of prophetic insights. But is he just a special one? And can we develop similar abilities of seeing into the things of God? I believe we can. And I think it's connected with being close to God. Clearly there are going to be varieties of giftedness, but simply because we are close to God, we are sharing in the things of God. Do you remember that word that God spoke to Abraham? And he shared those things with Abraham because Abraham was his friend. And Jesus said, I'm sharing these things with you because you are my friends. So it's as we learn and relate more deeply to God himself that we will understand more things, not just about God, but what's on God's heart as well. I think that's the heart of Daniel here. And then after 3 years, the king chose four of them because they were 10 times better than everybody else. Their hard work and their faithfulness had been rewarded. The truth is that the Christian lifestyle, or the godly lifestyle, is the best one. Another story, or a couple of stories, just to bring this to a close. A number of us were at Fresh Streams. It's a conference that's largely Baptist, a few weeks ago. And we heard lots of stories there, as you always do. But one of the stories that I find very encouraging was from Paul McConachy. Paul McConachy leads a church in Sheffield. It came out of St. Thomas Crooks. It's now a larger church. Lots of younger families belong to it, about 2,000 people. And they are very much into mission. The church has sort of based its whole philosophy on missioning. A number of things have been happening, and I won't go into too many stories here, but the story that I want to tell you is that he was approached by the local imam. The imam said, could some of the Muslim boys come to their youth club? And so Paul said, well, of course they can, but if they come to the youth club, they're going to be hearing about Jesus. You know, we're Christians, and we'll be sharing things about Jesus Christ. And so the imam said, that's fine, we believe in Jesus. Obviously they believe slightly different things about Jesus. And they don't quite know where that's going to get to. But what had happened was a couple of the Muslim lads had already gone to the youth club. And the imam had seen that their lifestyle had changed. And it says, we want the same for our other young people, because they're getting into addictions, unhelpful lifestyles. Now, those doors are not opened easily. God opens those doors. And he opens the doors because he can see within a given fellowship that we are looking to him, that we're wanting his things. And then the Lord just weaves new relationships so that the kingdom can be expanded as a result. So his remarkable gifts open doors for him. The final verse says that Daniel was in Babylon until the first year of King Cyrus. And King Cyrus came to his throne at 539 BC. That's 60 years since Daniel first arrived. So he's a young man when this is happening, and he's an old man when you get to the end of the story. Still being honoured. I was reading about the people that are honoured and thought to be important people in America. And do you know that at the age of 93... for the 55th year running, Billy Graham is in the top five of people that are honoured. Presidents have come and gone, but still not just over 70s, but under 30s are voting for Billy Graham. Now, Billy Graham is just a man, as Daniel was just a man, but there's something about honouring God which is noticed not just in the church, but it's also noticed in the world. May we be people that bring lots of blessing through what we say and do.